Well, before we begin, just wanted to bring a couple of things to our attention. First off, tonight at 6 p.m., we will have our New Year's Communion service. So looking forward to that time together as the body of Christ. That'll be at 6 o'clock here. As well, there is a sign-up at the back table for our Biblical Doctrine and Orientation class. Pastor Josh helped shorten it for us, BDOC, a number of times ago. That's actually how I remembered the exact order of what it was called. So it worked, Josh. It worked. You also will see it may be titled the New Members Class, but that's the same thing. That is a time in which not only do we get to really share with you the doctrines that we believe the Word of God has made clear and that we would teach in this church and believe, but also the class will begin as Pastor Gary takes those that are in there through what we call soteriology, or the study of salvation. Really understand what it means to be saved, to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that sign-up is in the back on a clipboard if you'd like to join for that time. Probably begin sometime next month. As well as if you have any questions about that, feel free to see any one of us, and we'll be happy to share some more with you about that. If you could open up your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 12. I was reading a particular kind of a summary of a study that was done. I've been talking to the youth the other day about the whole thing of making resolutions for a new year. And I said, let me look and see if man's gotten any better at that thing. And so there was a particular psychology department at a university conducted a study, talked to a pretty large group of individuals over the last couple of years with their resolutions at New Year's. It says that 88% of them said they had fallen through within the first 2 weeks. They're dropping like flies. But 88% within the first 2 weeks, as I oftentimes am reminded to, that's the ones that were honest. So it's probably in the 90s, if we're honest. But within 2 weeks, it really failed. You know, as I thought about that, though, in many ways, that can be a very gracious thing from God. Because if you would look at me in Matthew chapter 12, we have a picture of when man gets a sense of him being able to really fix things in our lives. When we begin to think man's solutions or our own power or strength can begin to change something, it's actually a very dangerous place to begin to go down. If you were to look at me in Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 43, Jesus tells us of a time in which there's an unclean spirit goes out of a man, which first off, if we just stop there, once again, man has no strength or control over the things in his own life. It doesn't even say that the man gets rid of this unclean spirit. It just does what it wants and begins to go on. Nevertheless, it says this unclean spirit, this destructive force in man's life, passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. And it says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. That phrase, put in order, begins to bring a sense of things really being seemingly on the outside, pleasant looking, everything orderly, really appealing to the eyes, very disciplined, very regimented. It would give us a sense of, on the outside, it looks like everything's just the way it ought to be. And there tells us as that unclean spirit goes back, it doesn't just come back and find that house in that manner. It says it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. They go and live there. The last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it'll also be with this evil generation. And one of the things that I can't help but think begins to come in is this sense of pride, that man in some way has fixed the things in his life. This false sense of security that we're strong enough, that we're wise enough to fix the problems that begin to come in. In many ways, you realize it's almost, you see the graciousness of God when we just fall flat on our face. But the danger in beginning to think that in any way we fix things, that in our own power, in our man's own wisdom, begins to make our life better. Psalm 119 and verse 9 begins to ask the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? That's by keeping it according to your word. It'll go on to say within the passage that your word have I treasured. The song of the children oftentimes say hidden in the heart. Treasured in your heart that I won't sin against you. What you don't hear in there is man's solutions, man's wisdom and understanding, our own power or strength. You go down through that passage, what you begin to get a sense of is that particular paragraph will finish and say, I've delighted in your word and what you say, God, and it won't leave me. I see stability in that, don't you? I don't see a two-week fall off. The best man can do is begin to fall flat on his face. The worst he can do is to bring destructive forces in far worse than even what was already there. The particular passage that had me thinking of this, if you would go with me to Acts chapter 19, I've actually been in this passage with the youth on Sunday mornings, and there's a particular example given to us as Paul is in Ephesus, and you know, it seems to be a sense of there's a lot who are sick, there's a lot of these evil spirits, these unclean spirits that are going on in different ones' lives. Interesting enough, there's ones that are being healed of it. They're just bumping into the handkerchiefs and aprons of Paul, and he has nothing to do with it. It's God's strength. But it tells us that there are some experts. There's a lot of experts out there, right? Begin to come to us and say, well, you just need to do this in your life, and that'll fix everything. So the pros come in. It tells us some of the Jewish exorcists, verse 13, they go out place to place. They attempted to name over those who had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. I think that's like third person twice removed. I don't know what connection they have. Gives us the example of the seven sons of Sceva in verse 14. They come in to do this. The evil spirit answers them in verse 15, kind of a frightening thought. Says, I recognize Jesus. I know about Paul, but who are you again? Who are you? It tells us that it leaps on those men, overpowers them. They flee that house naked and wounded. That turned out well, didn't it? Man's power and solutions, that really worked well, didn't it? But if you drop on down to verse 18, it says, many also those of those who had believed. We know that word believed is not just something that is a thought in our mind. It goes beyond that. It is those, as you dig into that word, that would put their complete trust in God. And we know as well, as we've been taught through the years, that you're going to believe the one that you love. So those that would love God, who had put their complete trust in him, kept coming and confessing and disclosing their practices. Many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them, found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 20 says, the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. More specifically, the impact and the power of the word of God in their lives was growing and strengthening. There's a lot of solutions that man will begin to bring, and there's solutions that we think that are going to fix our lives. But all it's going to do is begin to make things worse. At best, we're going to fail very quickly. But we begin to put our complete trust in God. We begin to treasure the things that he says in his word, whether it's the times in which God begins to bring it through a message, or it's the times which you're alone with God in his word. He's going to begin to reveal things in our lives. If we treasure that, if we love that, if we trust God's word in our own life, rather than man's solutions, there can actually be real change. I'm encouraged. I read that passage. They burned the books. It was done. God does that work, it's done. It's not 2 weeks and back to it. My encouragement is there's going to be things that, maybe there's things that have already been on your heart in your life. Maybe there's things that God's going to begin to reveal. Who do we go to for that solution? Do we take man's advice? Do we try to do it on our own? Or do we come to God and go, God, what would you have me do? What's going to be best for my life? And then trust him. Believe him in that. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives. So often in the flesh, we try to fix things. We try to take things into our own hands, and it just goes so poorly. But Lord, that you would desire to rescue and save us, that Lord, as your children, that you would desire to guide and direct us, to help pick us back up, to keep us from falling headlong. Lord, we give you thanks for your promises. We give you thanks for your word. Lord, that when you do something, it's done. That in you, there can actually be newness in our life. You make us into a new creation. You can give victory that lasts, that endures, because of the power of the Spirit of your Son. Not in our own, but in you. So, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for who you are and your love for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.